Greetings, everyone. We are here on the Because He Lives radio program, and we have two esteemed young men with us this morning. My name is Ryan Mathen, I'll be your host. And these young men are Pastor Roger Husbands, smiling broadly at me as I look across at him. And we have as well Brother Adriel Jackman, a seasoned Christian, and I use that word seasoned deliberately. And we're going to be touching on a topic this time around on the deviant behaviors of our young men in this country. We want to as well thank our sponsors, fellow Mortar Spirits. And before we begin, let's start for word of prayer. Pastor Husbands, would you start us in a word of prayer as well?
So Father, we thank you. We give you glory, give you praise for this radio program. I pray, God, that you will use it for your honor and for your glory. May it touch the lives of many who will have an opportunity to hear, and may it change the concept of people's mindset towards our young people and towards deviants. Bless the speakers today, your presenters, and we thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well done. Thank you. All right. Let's start. Let's open the batting with a bouncer. Would you young men agree with this statement? The young men in Barbados are out of control. Is that a loaded statement? Is that an accurate statement? Is that statement too broad? Let's go to Brother Adriel. The young men in this country are out of control. How do you respond to that?
That's a tough one. If you look at news, we will say yes.
Okay.
With what is going on in our news, I think people believe that is the reality. And in many ways, that is true. Because there's a lot of young men, young women, that things are not going right. They can't find a job. Their anger is out of control. They don't know how to take care of themselves or take care of the children they're having. So in that case, yes. Mm-hmm. But all are not there. I still meet a lot of young people who lives are together. But those have a really strong family
all
support.
Right. That's interesting. Pastor Husbands, Brother Adriel is making a valid comment here. We may have a problem that's not affecting all of our young people, all of our young men. Would you say that's an accurate statement? Or can we add some fuel to the flames and say that there may not be a lot of them, but the deviancy is of such a level that it's affecting everyone?
Well, I would say both.
Okay.
The fact is that there are not a lot of young people who, as you call it here, out of control. Out of control is such a broad thing, but however, there are young people out there who are, in other words, lost. There are some, however, who are able to be captured by somebody, whether it be by a mentor or family relatives or parents or school or the system, which compel them to want to then go out there and do well. But there are some who are unfortunately a product of abuse, neglect, abandonment, mistreatment, and they have to go through the course of life being lost and not being able to have the opportunities like those other individuals. But however, in my field of work, I am seeing that the numbers, however, are increasing and increasing to the point where we're having more younger guys before the law courts. Now, the ages years ago when I used to work with Magistrate Faith Marsha Harris in the court, the numbers were not as much as they are now. The age group is not as small as it is now, it is now. The different types of crime is not like how it used to be years ago. Even if it was that way, it was not designed or as decorative as this one is. So if we want to talk about the young men, we really need to look at the circumstances behind why these young people are out of control and how we can rein them back and bring them back to the Lord.
Now, you raise an interesting an interesting point, the circumstances. And I want to add some more to what you just said. Who is responsible for addressing this deviancy? If we know the circumstances, here, for example, the home structure, one can say, well, look, we need to work on the homes. If we know the circumstances, it would be the educational system. One can say we need to work on the educational system. Who's responsible for addressing it? Even if that's a minority, who's responsible for addressing it? Let's go back to Brother Adriel. Who do we say is responsible? For that group that's under pressure, who is the primary person or primary group responsible for addressing that situation?
All of society.
Well,
all of us have to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
The unfortunate thing is that the church can't, mm-hmm. the government can't do it on its own. Individuals with big hearts can't do it on their own.
Mm.
The whole of society has to get involved. Each of us have to hold the responsibility of taking care of one,
mm-hmm.
or two. And if each of us take the responsibility of one or two, it will work itself out over time. The unfortunate thing is that in some cases it's so bad that you really need professional help in a very big way to help solve, to mitigate the things getting even worse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if it's just solve it, because it really will take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And not any one person or not just any family member could just come and solve those big problems. I've heard of some cases that are extreme. And I can't see myself getting involved in some of those cases because I don't know how to make the difference.
Mm.
But the areas where I can make the difference, those parts I will get involved in.
Mm-hmm.
But you really still need professional help with some other situations.
Mm.
So mm-hmm. the responsibility is all of ours, everybody's.
Mm. So I'm going to go to Pastor Husbands now. A young man who has been instrumental in addressing issues among youth. He's been working with young persons for a long time, over a decade, I believe. More than that.
And he's still a young boy.
Would you agree with Brother Adriel that we are all responsible? And if we are all responsible, have we been playing our part? We as a collective society?
We are all responsible. We have to play our part. And I keep saying, as long as there's evil in this world, mm-hmm. we can always have a fight.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that it's all of us to approach this problem. As was said before, the reality is that there are some people who can do their part and there's some that have to do their other part. Mm-hmm. But when they all come together, we should all be working together, because my expertise might not be your expertise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And solving this problem is going to be gonna need the number of persons involved and engaged in it, and especially as when you said just now about the fact that people need to be trained. We're trying to train mentors right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because mentorship, I listen, Lord told me maybe about what, 2-3 years ago, when I came back out from my illness, Lord told me straight off, the problem for Barbados and for this issue that we have is mm-hmm. mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been speaking about mentorship over and over and over. I've been begging bishops to allow the people in congregations to be trained as mentors. No longer can you come to young people as you are,
mm-hmm.
because there are young people with disorders and conduct and ODD and ADHD and all kind of different things that need specialized care.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you're going to need to train people in them areas, train people how to mentor properly, right? Because at the end of the day, we want to not only help these young people, but we want to keep them engaged. And therefore, mentorship is going to be quite important. And I know for sure, before a shadow of a doubt, the mm-hmm. problem for Barbados, the solution for Barbados right now
mm-hmm.
is mentorship. If a lot of these young people were getting mentored, we will have the problem that we have in today.
Mm.
Because they will have somebody that they will be able to ram back to and say, look, yo, I feel you're going to kill this man here. We can't talk to me. But because they ain't got nobody to doing things as they want to do it, mm-hmm. doing things on their own. And as many men will ever tell you, you know what? I'm my own man. I don't care what nobody say. I don't care. I will go to jail and sit down for you. And rather than having somebody who they can say, look, this man offsetting me, talk to me, talk to me, hold me back. Can we go eat a burger? Let me go and relax. So we're going to talk some, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. so I play a little golf or something and just get away from that problem. But because we don't have the mentors in place, a lot of youngsters are resorting to themselves or to their peers who also got the same mindset.
Whoa.
We go kill mindset.
Whoa.
So can imagine if we had mentors? Imagine if some of them Bible, people in Bible who did bad things had mentors that could say, look, Judas, don't go kill yourself.
Mm.
Don't go do that. Don't go betray.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't do that. that just come and talk and say, look, I don't like how they're spending the money. I don't like how, you know what I'm saying? You got somebody to talk to, but the reality is that we need mentors.
Well, Brother Adriel, when the program would have started, I would have said deliberately that you are a seasoned Christian, and there was a reason why you said that. You are a man I've admired for a long time because you're very thoughtful. You consider points well before you respond, and I want to give you something to consider right now. Are there enough resources in place? Pastor Husbands would have mentioned mentorship. Both human resources, material, financial resources, are there enough resources in place within our community to address this situation? He spoke about mentorship. Maybe it's bigger than that. And we're going to add a piece to that as well. And can the church do more? Can the church do more in terms of what he's discussing here and what you would have shared as well in terms of the group responsibility of bringing our young people back from the brink? Can the church do more? Are there enough resources in place? However we want to take that word resources to assist in that process.
The church can always do more.
Mm.
It all depends on what the church focus is.
Mm.
I was mentioning earlier when we were having a little chat on the site. If we were in war,
mm-hmm.
and the generals had to make a decision of what to do,
mm-hmm.
they would come together, work out a plan, mm-hmm. and execute it.
Mm-hmm.
They would not throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do.
Mm-hmm.
They would not say,
they would have a game plan.
Because we don't got enough tanks or because we mm-hmm. don't got enough planes, we can just surrender.
Mm-hmm.
You would sit down and start a work out a plan.
Mm-hmm.
My belief is that the church, the community, need to sit down and start working out some things, trashing out some things, put tons of ideas on mm-hmm. the table and start to test
Pastor
them.
Husbands
them,
is here nodding emphatically. He's nodding as well. Keep on going, Brother Adrian.
The fight is not over.
Mm-hmm.
The battle is not lost.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks that way.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't impossible. It's impossible because nobody's really fighting.
Mm.
And I don't mean that there's nobody actually in the trenches fighting. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying the community at whole has to participate in solving the problem.
Mm.
My belief is that none of us really know the exact solution to everything.
Mm-hmm.
But if we come together and we share and combine our ideas and we come up with a strategy and mm-hmm. we start to implement, okay, if that doesn't work, okay, we come back together and we strategize again mm-hmm. and we do it till we get the job done. I strongly believe you don't expect government to be the one to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the community is the one that used to raise children.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
the government, the community, even teachers mm-hmm. in schools was mm-hmm. the community.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't even consider them government. They were part of the community. The community is the one that raised the children. The community stopped raising the children, so we have the problem. The community got to get back.
Mm-hmm.
to taking care of the responsibility of the people in the society.
Mm. No, I am going to throw that ball right the way back to Pastor Husband. And I'm going to ask him a quick loaded question. Loaded, loaded, loaded. You mentioned discipleship and mentorship. Brother Adriel would have mentioned the fact that the community has to get back to community. Would you say within our Christian community, because we are a Christ-centered program, and our focus is basically upon what the church is able to do and what it's doing presently. Within our body of believers, would you say, Pastor Husbands, that we are serious about mentorship and discipleship, generally speaking?
that's loaded for sure. That's what you call loaded phrase. I honestly think that maybe we might be too busy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we might need to go back to the drawing board to evaluate what we are doing and if it is effective. And I thinking that, you know, if we churches would take some time to say, look, I'm in a community, there are young people, am I effective in this community? Am I mm-hmm. really making the impact? What else could I do? How could I help these young people? I know sometimes we get so bogged down with agendas because, you know, we still got Christmas program, Easter, all the different kind of functions that we got get people trained and choir practice and mm-hmm. drama practice. And we've got so much practices, Lord Jesus, I don't even know how we get time to do anything else. But you know, but what about the souls out there lost? You know, are we putting enough emphasis? We training choirs, we training drama people, we training some musicians. Are we training mentors?
Whoa.
Are we training those to go into the world and preach the gospel? Are we Whoa. Training those who will go into all the world as Jesus commanded us to do?
Whoa.
The church has to ask those serious questions. And as was said by my brother, I mean, like, when we sit down, we have to really evaluate this thing. If not, we're going to miss the mark. And I just want to drop this out here, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you're going to cut it off, but maybe are we contributing to what we're seeing today?
Whoa.
by not doing anything, by not focusing on anything, by not evaluating stuff, by not doing our tasks, what we've been really sent here for? Have we become so fanatical in these fancy things and I just always have to ask myself, you know, are we evaluating to ensure that we are following the correct thing that we're supposed to do, that God has called us to do? There are churches that are designed and created and developed for particular purposes. Have we fulfilled those purposes? Can we really shut our eye and say that, yes, I've done all I could possibly do? Or is there more that we can do? Mm-hmm. And if we have to ask the question, can the church do more? I said yes. And is the church doing? Yes, we are doing. We are out there every day doing work. We are out there doing things we're supposed to do. And then there are things we're not supposed to do, we're doing too. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, can we do more? I say yes. Mm-hmm. I say yes. And the reason why I say yes is because we have not won this war yet. We're not even, the war out there is hot. Mm-hmm. And the streets are hot. And this is the time now for the church to now get back. I can't lastly see, I may be wrong, but I can't lastly see a crusade. I can't lastly see those people really in the community serving the community. And most of our churches, people come from all about the place to come into the community for church. And hardly do we find people from the community coming into the church.
Whoa.
From that particular. So we got to go back and ask, are we really impacting our communities? Or are we going to see more drive-by shootings that we see in Colombia and Jamaica that have now infiltrated our nation? I wish I had time that I could give you the names of all the gangs in Barbados, because I compelling names that are ridiculous. and the war out there is so hot that you have territory, you have gangsters who have decided to take on territories, and they're running territories and killing men to get them out of their territory. So when I asked the Christian church, have you evaluated your impact? Are young people running to you, or they running to the block? Are young people running to you when they need help, or they running to the block? Are young people running to you when they are hungry, or they running to the block? Who are they running to? So we have to evaluate ourselves.
Whoa. It was loaded when it was sent, and it was loaded when it was returned. Brother Adriel, you're gonna continue from where we left off there. Now, you mentioned community, also mentioned the fact that we need to have a game plan. We need to have a strategy going forward. In your experience, would you say that as churches, we tend to be reluctant to work together?
Yeah, I believe so. Matter of fact, I was when the pastor was speaking, I was thinking that I could imagine everybody listening, thinking to themselves they don't have a clue what to do. And I said, okay, that's understandable. That is where we all start. Okay, one, come get together with two. Two, get together with three. Start a conversation. Three, get together with four. And then 12, have a conversation. Work out something. Test something. Okay, the church small. Nobody knows what to do. What's the closest church to us? Hey, let's get together and have a conversation. What are we going to do? We start talking. Oh, we don't know. Let's call somebody that we think that might know. Let them come and have some input in this. Start the ball rolling. It's understandable that you don't know what to do. I don't know what to do concerning many things. But that doesn't mean you stop, that you throw up your hands and say, well, there's no solution. Is somebody else's problem. All problems in society is the church problem. We are the ones that know the Lord. It is our problem to address. Who else is going to address it?
Whoa.
So start by asking God who to start the conversation with, and start it until you get enough to build a plan, hopefully God-led, because that's the only one that can work, and start doing.
Wow. Now, I am going to be the guy that lets the wolf into the hen house. Now, our present reality is we have a lot of senior persons in our churches, persons probably over 50, going towards 60, and going far from that age as well. And the deviancy we're seeing is among a young age group that is very aggressive. And the temperament of many of our church members is not that aggression. We do not know how to respond to that aggression. So, Pastor Husbands, how are you going to tell Victoria, or are you going to tell John, who would have already probably retired from their workplace? Their children are growing. They probably have grandchildren now. They're looking to relax in their senior years and come to church and sing their five hymns, listen to the message, and just relax. How are you going to tell that individual now to go into seed on somebody's behalf who has been involved in a shooting, or who's hooked on drugs, or who curses, as you would say, like a pirate? How do you expect an individual in that age group to connect with a young person who has a totally different mindset? How do they make that connection?
Well, the picture you were just picturing there about the relaxation, you almost made me sleep just now. I would love to do that. But anyhow, I would say to them this, everybody is important. I know the book of the Bible does not have in the book of NAS, and because the Bible don't have the book of NAS, it means that nobody's retiring. And the reality is that we cannot retire, we cannot give up, we cannot stop ministering, we can't stop helping people. That's mm-hmm. what we called to do. And I would say this to them: look, come to get some training. Mm-hmm. It's simple. You got the time? Sit down, do your training, do your reading. You know, come up with some ideas, some research. You got the time? You can run about with a young man and help you get a job. All of that is mentoring. You know, you could ramble and help a young man get a haircut, mm-hmm. get, you know, help a young man or a young lady, you know, to buy a skirt or a dress to, mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. something for church or whatever. You have time, you know what I'm saying? And people think that mentoring is a lot, but it's not. It's just having a conversation mm-hmm. with a young person and help them direct their life, help them achieve their goals, help them to fulfill the things that they never thought they would ever fulfill, to be there in the gap just in case something happens that you're there to help push that person through or pull them away from some issue or some problem. And so all of us mentor every day some things that we don't even know, you know, and so it's just a strategic now to get training, to get yourself confident, to encourage you more. That training will help build you.
Yes.
And so that's why we've been asking pastors to allow us to come in to do the training, because we have the information, we have the PowerPoints, the presentations, the exercises, the different things that are necessary to help the churches become more effective in the community. And if you don't even come through us, there are many other people there that you can ask, as was said by brother, mm-hmm. you know, bringing somebody who can, you know, rub shoulders with you, that can maybe guide you and help you to achieve the goals that you have set. But don't mm-hmm. let us retire. We got a lot of work to do. Listen, you're even going to get more work now than before, because, mm-hmm. you know, how things get out there now, we're going to need everybody. And let me tell you something. You see, the older gentleman, sir, you were a plumber before and you retire. Teach the young people to plumb.
Mm.
I don't know if that's a word. Mm-hmm. But teach young people how to plumb. That's it. You know, you the old lady up there, you used to use the computer, or you used to know how to file or how to answer phones properly. Teach young people how to do those things. That is mentorship. That is your contribution in your latter years towards leaving a legacy behind. So at the end of the day, somebody else can also say, you know, if it wasn't for John, mm-hmm. I would not be in this position. But John took some time and invested in me, teach me all the trade, teach me everything I am today, so that I could become somebody.
We're approaching the last few minutes of our program, and I'm going to throw this to you, Brother Adrian. John is a young man you pass almost every morning on your way to work or from your work, whichever location you're going to. And you see John close to your home. John appears to be unemployed. John appears to only have one interest, making money, from what you've heard about John. John swears a lot. John always appears to be angry. How would you connect with John?
I actually don't know.
There you go. I like that honesty.
If my honest intent was mm-hmm. to connect with him,
yes,
I would probably first talk to the Lord about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I honestly don't know,
mm-hmm.
whatever approach I attempt will probably be ineffective and be problematic.
Mm-hmm.
So my experience is that I gain success by bringing it before God.
Mm-hmm.
That's if my heart intent is to do that. Sometimes God isn't looking for me to be looking for persons. Sometimes mm-hmm. he brings persons into my life. So it all depends. But either way, I'll mm-hmm. be my position, I will talk to God about it.
Amen.
Right? I was just thinking about what the pastor just mm-hmm. mentioned. And I was thinking about if persons just allow themselves to be trained. Don't commit to the end of the journey. Commit to just this part. Allow themselves. You imagine if all churches had persons train in such a way that the trainers know what they were capable of.
Amen. I'm Pastor Husband is here nodding.
And he's
nodding.
Then one day, each person that's in the trenches
mm-hmm.
find one that they say, this church can handle this one. This church can handle this one. And he says, okay, church, I want you to take care of this one.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds another one in trenches and he says, okay, this church that he knows was trained can handle this one.
Mm-hmm.
And each church handles one. It makes his job easier. It makes his job possible.
Mm.
Just by everybody just coming to the point of, okay, I will commit to being trained.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be commit to being mentored myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then God will lead. Who will come in that space for mm-hmm. you to mentor?
Amen. Whoa. I think that's a lot for us to digest. And I think as we conclude the program, what stood out for me was the fact that the responsibility is on everyone, and it requires a change of mindsets. And I'm hoping that persons who are listening to this program would understand that, yes, we can give advice, yes, we can give suggestions, but it requires an internal evaluation. As Brother Adriel would have said, we have to pray to God, not only pray to God, when he reveals to us his response, we have to be willing to take on that response. I believe we have an announcement to be made after the program. Nonetheless, we want to conclude in a word of prayer. Brother Adriel, if you would indulge us, please.
Dear merciful Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity, dear Father, to speak to your church. I pray, dear Lord, that they will hear your voice and obey, that they will take action, dear Lord, on what you have said to them. I pray, dear Lord, that they'll be willing, they'll be eager, dear Lord, to obey your instruction, to do your will. Thank you, dear Lord, for this blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Christ-like 2025, hosted by the Nazarene Youth International of the Barbados District. Yes, Nazarene Youth Camp 2025, Christ-like. It takes place on Sunday the 24th of August to Saturday the 30th of August at the Eastern Caribbean Bible Camp, Jezreel St. Philip. Price $225 or $200 for the same household. We cater to ages 12 to 18. For those young persons who are interested, please speak to your NYA president or pastor. We need to bind some strongholds. Father, and you all can pray with me in agreement.
Yes.
I come to you in the name of Jesus on behalf of this country and on behalf of the young men. Lord, I read the Bible and mm-hmm. from the beginning, mm-hmm. there has always been males that would have been targeted, especially mm-hmm. males that you would have placed your hand on, males with tremendous potential, Lord, and we are seeing them cut down. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The weapons of our warfare are not made carnal, but made mighty through you, O Jesus, for the pulling down of every stronghold. I come against the murderous spirits. I come against the territorial spirits in the name of Jesus. Satan, you have to flee when the blood of Jesus appears. I pray, dear God, that you would take your filthy hands off of our young men. Yes. Lord, he knows the potential that you would have placed within each and every single one of these young men, dear God. Young men that could be mighty leaders for you, dear God. Young men, dear God, that could lead wonderful families and be awesomely used by you in and through the awesome power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray, dear God, that you would touch every young man in the name of Jesus, that they will find their purpose in you. They will find their calling in you. Mm-hmm. For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to bring you a harvest. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask, hope, or think for. Dear God, you want every single young man to fulfill their God-given potential, dear God. You told Jeremiah, even before you were knitted in your mother's womb, I gave you mm-hmm. purpose. Mm-hmm. I find, dear God, I pray, dear God, that each young man will find their purpose and their calling in you. Dear God, that they would encounter you. Mm-hmm. Those mm-hmm. who encountered you were never, ever the same.
Yes.
It is because you live, dear God, that you could bring about that change and transformation that is so desperately needed. We turn to you. The solution is found in you. Help us as a church to be obedient, Lord. Thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen and amen.
And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war.